Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Yo, yo.
Hey, hey.
What is poppin'?
What's poppin'? It's your girl, Lady Free.
And I am your boy, Pastor J. My bad. I've been screaming Dallas Cowboys for the last 2 days. You know what I'm saying? Especially after that win on Sunday. I feel good. Quincy, don't you do it, okay?
You feel real good.
You know, okay. I've been hated on, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying? But you know, we're here, Shift Real Talk. We're here. We're back in the building.
Back in the building. And today, we have another fireball for you. The topic for today, first of all, hey, if this is your first time joining us, if this is your second time, or whoever you are joining us today, we love you already. And we just want to say this is a podcast where we talk about relationships.
Yes, it is.
We talk about life, love, relationships. We talk about the truth behind it all. And everything we do is centered around the kingdom of God. So that would lead me into our special guest for today. I'm so pleased and excited for this podcast because I have my brother on the show today. The topic is Kingdom versus Culture Part 2. So we want to welcome my brother Sean McLeod to the show.
What's going on?
Unfortunately, he is a Falcons fan.
I made it.
He's a Falcons fan.
I made it.
He's out of uniform tonight. You know what I'm saying? This is a Cowboy segment.
He's something else.
But listen,
I'm
man.
Therapy from the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Listen, man, it's good to have you on, man. The reason why I really believe my wife wanted, she said, I got to get Sean on. And I believe it's a lot of how you are effective in the community. So, you know, you do a lot in the community, man,
right.
You know, and I kind of respect what you do. You've always been a man of God ever since I met you. You know, you always walk the same way. You never kind of lived since, you know, one way on one day and another day, another way and another
keeping
day, man.
Real.
So you keep it real.
Yeah.
And we just believe that today's conversation kind of like depicts how you live and,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, and how we can,
how you living?
How we can filter between the kingdom culture and then what society says about culture, man. So tell us
right.
a little bit about what you do, Sean.
Well, currently, from a ministry standpoint, in my church, I'm actually involved in about 3 different things. One of them being the homeless outreach ministry. We do that right. twice a month. So we literally go downtown Atlanta, go on the bridges. We go in the tent community. There's a rock city type community downtown okay. Atlanta, but we just got to okay. go down there, feed people, clothe them, talk to them. Just a couple of weeks ago, I witnessed to a guy and he came to the Lord. So that's yeah. one of the things that I do. Another thing, I've mentored guys in my church, men that's like late 20s to mid 30s. Me and yeah. another guy, we actually mentoring 4 or 5 guys.
Okay.
So I do that. And yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on, man.
So you know about the culture. You've been in the
oh, yeah.
culture.
Hey, can you marry?
You see, oh, just don't be alarmed, Pastor
yeah.
J. We'll
yeah, I always kind of
out.
Interrupt, you know, when the people start logging
he'll
in.
He'll get
you
up,
know
he'll
saying?
Get some shout outs in the middle of an important comment.
Deevra,
you know,
my
drop.
Baby girl. Deevra's my daughter, man. I'm claiming you as my daughter now, Deevra. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
You
my daughter. We're
going
to work that out.
Kenya.
Is that
so,
Deevra?
On the,
is
yeah,
that Deevra.
Yeah,
I know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's her.
What's up, Deevra?
Yeah, Mia's on the line. So, y'all, we talking about Kingdom versus Culture Part 2.
So listen. What I know and what I believe is that there is a kingdom culture, and then there's a culture that has been created by the world, the society.
Yeah, there is.
And what I've been, as I've been kind of looking it up today, I really realize how culture is to me, and maybe me talking right now, I believe the culture is the environment. You know what I'm saying? I believe culture is an environment, because if you go to the scripture, God created the environment, and that was important because the environment was, and when I kind of looked it up, it said environment is the conditions that affect growth. So, So what it is, like before God even placed the things to exist in the environment, he made the environment.
Right.
So in other words, he created the sea first, and then he created the fish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this can kind of go in either way, but I believe our level of thinking has filtered now what the culture has become, and or what the growing environment has become. So a lot of times we separate it and say, well, it's what you guys did earlier. You know, and I don't believe there's nothing new or nothing different under the sun. I just believe that our mindsets and where we are has changed a lot of the environment,
the culture, right?
The culture. So I have a question for you, Sean. How do you believe, like you say you mentor a lot of young guys, right? How difficult is it to really have them understand the difference between their level of thinking of not being in Christ and their level of thinking of being in Christ? How would you influence that?
Well, I mean, I've actually mentored three different types of people. One of them, like you said, I've met those who have no interest in the kingdom of God. They have no interest in his ways and understanding, you know, what he's like and what his purposes or anything like that. So, yeah, it's very challenging when you're dealing with somebody who's not interested in the things of God. All you can do is just, you know, be authentic, be real, you know, just, you know, don't try to put on airs, because people can see through all of that. They can see through all the fake stuff that people present sometimes. But if you just be yourself, and a lot of what the kingdom is about is loving people, being a person of peace. Once they see those things, I mean, I don't think it hasn't been that challenging for me to mentor guys, because those who really want it, they'll reach out to me and say, hey, listen, would you be willing to mentor or disciple me? Guys like that, they tend to kind of ask questions. They ask questions and I offer whatever information I have for them. So whether it's loving them, being peaceable, being showing them mercy when they struggle, having someone to talk to when they're falling, you know, I just try to make myself available. And that's something that I think the culture doesn't do. The culture is about, like, my time is for me, and I don't really have time to deal with some of the tough things that people often bring to the table. A man of God, a person of the kingdom of God, makes himself available to people 3 a.m, even if it called for it. So that's my mindset.
Hey, Tanisha, how you doing? Yeah, that's beautiful, man. You know, because I remember, like I said, I believe it's the environment. And I remember my grandmother, we lived in the projects in New York. And the projects that we lived in, it was a bad project. You know, I mean, they were shooting broad daylight. They pow, pow, the broad daylight. They didn't care. They'll shoot at somebody. It was selling drugs. But my grandmother, who truly, when I say she lived a life of Christ, and even she loved on every last one of them, the little hood boys that was in the project selling their drugs and smoking weed. So when my grandmother came in the building, because I used to be nervous, like, man, my grandmother coming around, you know, with all these thugs and all these cats around, and they doing the wrong thing, but they respected her. When she came in the building, Miss Duggan's coming, put it down, put the weed down. And it was like, just to watch the mindset of these young thugs who truly respected the fact that my grandmother was a woman of God, and she loved all of them. Like, it wasn't even about what they were doing, but it was the fact that because of the Christ was in her, she always treated them pleasant. She would always even give them stuff, give them gifts. So, you know what I'm saying? So there was a level of kingdom culture that could have really, and I really believe, and I'm saying that to say this, because a lot of times our mentality is what changes the perspective of culture. So I go back to say this, that if you live in a poor area, I don't believe the structure or the inventor or the architect, when he created the area, he created it to be poor. You know what I'm saying? So I believe a lot of our mentality created this environment for this now to be considered a poor area. So I'm saying a lot of times, because we see these areas You know what I'm saying? We don't go as a body of Christ and really change the mindset as opposed to leaving the situation the way it is and let it growing into the belief of that this is a poor area. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
No, babe. You said a long sentence, a long statement. Sean might have understood. Okay.
Yeah, I understood what you mean. Just the original intent of the projects or the poor community wasn't for people to be in a poor environment. But over time, because of people's mentality. Yeah, because of people's mentality, it just evolved into a broken society.
Because all it takes is one bad thought. You know what I'm saying? One bad thought. You know, what does it say? Cast down every imagination. So some of these imaginations are not taught to be cast down. So it grows. It grows into and makes it now a bad environment. So now what we have is we have young people getting pregnant, you know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of thing, one thing I want to delve into, because I remember when we were growing up and when you were young, you know, having a baby you didn't feel comfortable. It was like, we already didn't know what it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, or even we were kids ourselves. So it was like bringing in a child.
Yeah.
Oh, you was either reprimanded or you was either, brought before the church and you had to apologize, or they sat you down.
Right.
But not today's culture. Now, I mean, you have 16-year-olds that are getting pregnant, and I know that pretty much. I don't think you have any kids yet, Sean. But I know a lot of people had kids at young ages. So the difference now from having kids now in the culture today, how would you witness or help somebody to realize, you know, even coming from what we came from when in the tough culture, where it was like, that was the wrongest thing to do.
Hmm. But how, you said, how would I witness to them? How would I?
Yeah. How would you deal with that situation? Yeah.
Yeah. In contrast, like, I think, you know, the word talks about redeeming the time or taking advantage of the opportunities that you have.
Yeah.
And in my time, when young ladies got pregnant, we had a great opportunity to help them, to meet them when they obviously got caught up in a jam and was bringing a child into the world as a young person. That was a great opportunity to be there for them, support them, and do whatever you can to help them to thrive and be the best parent they can be. So unfortunately, in the church, we missed that opportunity. But today, you know, when a person does have a child out of wedlock, it's not an indictment. It's not life is over. You know, you just say, well, how can I support them? And, you know, if they need housing, then you try to figure out, okay, how can I support you by giving you some shelter, clothing, a job or daycare, whatever is needed. Those basic need ways of supporting a person, you figure it out. You rally around them and do what you can. But you don't spend your time talking about, oh, you sin, oh, you wrong, as if life is over. So unfortunately, a lot of young ladies felt like, man, they were the worst person ever. You know, and they had to struggle for a long time. So maybe God brought somebody in their life to help them to see, hey, look, you got a bright future ahead of you, you and your child. But we missed that opportunity a lot of times.
Yes, we do. Yeah. My dad is on. Hey, Dad, he said, I remember shooting dice and had to stop because my grandmother was coming. Yeah, I'm telling you, the respect that they had for my grandmother was crazy. Hey, Larry, my boy Larry Warren is watching. He's another Falcon fan, too. So you and him going to hook up, man. When we get to Atlanta.
Kenya Merritt said, I walk the streets of Guy R. Brewer. That's the project?
Huh?
What's that?
Guy Brewer is a bad area in Queens.
Okay, it's Queens. With the mothers of the church, we had the power and authority to change the culture. And see, the thing about it is, I feel like back then, there was a certain power that you would see from the people who really truly believed and lived it, right? So today, we are so afraid as Christians to open our mouth now. We afraid to talk about what the kingdom is about. We afraid to help people to understand what God speaks of. But the way you presenting it right now, it's like as I'm listening to this is what we do now. We say to the young ladies, you know, you have a bright future, you and your child. Even if we have to do shelter, you say at 3 o'clock in the morning, if somebody needs me, it's like you're extending yourself. And it's not about me. Look, don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm asleep. Things of that nature. People don't see the kingdom like that. And what they see a lot of times is judgment. What they see a lot of times is people, they think people are old fogey. You know, that's old school. People don't do it like that no more. But how would you present when it, let's say you had to go out, like you said, you go out to the Rock. What was that? What you said? It looked like a rock something.
Oh, Rock City Community. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's that?
It's just actually in Atlanta near 20, Interstate 20, under the bridges, directly under the bridges.
Gotcha.
There's just, yeah, these huge rocks that people have set up tents in that area.
Oh, wow.
So we would literally park our cars right on the shoulder of the bridge area, get out of our cars, walk all over the rocks to where the tents are, and hey, how you doing? Yell out, and they'll come out of their tents. We'll offer them food and just sit down and talk with them.
That's
and,
right where 20 and 75 meet at, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay, so what? Okay, so I'm interested at this point. What's that like?
I guess I'm a little different, you know, and I don't mean that in a way where I'm like I'm better than somebody else. I just mean that, like, because I spent so much time around people, when I see people like that, it's like I see myself. Because when I grew up in the housing projects, and I remember times when our heat wasn't on or we didn't have food, and I had to be looking forward to going to school just to eat, you know, because we didn't have a meal that night. So when I see people under the bridge who have no food, it just takes me back to moments in my life when I didn't have much. And so it's like I see myself, and a lot of times I had to fight from crying, because it's like I remember how I felt in that moment. And so that's what I see. I see regular human beings who just happen to fall on some hard times. Any of us could be in that situation. And so my heart just goes out. Whatever I can do for them, if I got to take the shoes off my feet, because I got 20, 30 pair of shoes in my closet. So I can get back in my car and drive home with no shoes on. That's fine. But if they need my shoes, they're going to get them. So that's just the way my mindset is. And when I see them, that's how I think about it.
Hey, that's Robin. Kingdom. We love you, Robin. We love
that's
you, Robin.
That's kingdom. Holmes. It's unfortunate that today culture makes you feel like that, you know, they'll eat you alive. You know, culture today is almost seen. It seems like there's so much hate, so much negativity, and there's so much. They say the church is judgmental. Social media is the judgment zone. Social That's media right. is the biggest bully. Oh, no bullying at school, no bullying. But then you get on social media and you say something that sounds like the wrong thing, and you getting bullied.
Yes.
Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, but when you think about the way culture is and how we so try to conform to that, it's like, it's almost like I got to fit in somewhere in this culture. And so if I got to be a mean girl, I'm going to be a mean girl. If I got to do this, if I got to accept, you know, the side chick piece, if I got to, you know, so we want so much to fit into a society like that. But when I hear you talking about the kingdom and we live this way, you know, what you're saying, it's like, this is what we do in life. And this is how we were raised to live this way. I feel like I would rather live in that space where it's like, when I see somebody, I could say, wow, I remember when, and, you know, not be scared to go talk to them so you don't go, but to have empathy and compassion for them so it makes you go. You know what I'm saying?
I want to read two comments real quick. Dieva wrote, she wrote, learn behavior while being stuck within mental enslavement of how things are versus being given tools to become better and resilient.
Come on.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Kanisha good, Davis. How good. You doing, Kanisha?
Hey, Kanisha.
And Robin Holmes. Hey, Robin, we love you. She said we love you back. But she said, the respect for the elders have faded as big mamas have died off. Now big mamas are still clubbing, and they are and they are friends with their kids. Exactly.
Right.
That's what the culture of today looks like. It looks like you know, and that's what happens, though. But I want to say this. A lot of mindsets are geared toward, and environments are created because of things that we don't want to do. So we're stuck in our level of comfortability because we don't want to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to challenge ourselves. We don't want to do things because we don't know the result of it. So we may be scared to walk out.
We don't want to challenge our children. But when we were younger,
our parents made us do things.
Right.
They made us do things because they felt like, if I make you do this, this is going to make you better. So now they're old enough, they can make their own decisions. So what they don't do now is they do a lot of stuff that they just choose not to do. I'm not going to do this. I don't know how that's going to turn out. Or He may be, so we don't even date people, or we don't even give people a chance to actually exist in our lives because of what we're afraid of. So the culture of today is being created from our level of fears, from our level of non being it's able scary. To move. So today, she's right. So what we do now is now we allow people to say anything. We allow it's people like, to do. Yeah. Don't say nothing.
Don't say nothing.
We won't
kids.
Even
see,
we won't even help. You know, I see it all the time in the barbershop, man. Oh my God, Sean, I see it all the time. Young little boys come in the shop, and you would really think that they're getting a needle. Like, you know, I used to be scared of the needle when I was little. This little sharp thing, they're gonna stick it on. I would think you hurt, so I would cry. But clippers on your head. I mean, these little boys, and they in there with their dads. And it's crazy because they will not sit down. And it's not just one of them. It's like every other kid that comes in. And the thing is, because, and I guess they get mad at me because I say beat them. I mean, I shouldn't say that, Lord. You know, I mean, well, because I don't want it to get shut down. We give Facebook jail for me saying that.
I'm going to correct you right there because the Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not saying beat them.
No, I know. I'm saying that because I don't want us to get Facebook. Yeah, they put us in Facebook jail for saying that. But I don't want to say that.
In the kingdom, it does state that God chastens those he loves. So I know when you say beat them, you be joking. But at the same time, you honestly saying they need discipline.
They need discipline.
Discipline your children. If you love them, you will discipline them. Period, point blank.
Because today's society, we spare the rod. The thing is, if you love this kid, if you love your kid, then you will not spare them the level of discipline. Because again, you got a lot of, I see it on the news every day. A young man, 19 years old, done killed his grandmother because of whatever the case is, or 22 years old, killed his mother and father. This is the culture that we're living in. And it comes from the mentality.
Right, and you see this all the time. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that just, a lot of what you see is lack of parenting. There's not enough kids getting time with their parents where it's not just, listen, do what you want to do, live your life. I mean, that's the message that you see everywhere anyway. Live your life, do your own thing. But it's just, unfortunately, it's poor parenting. You need people in a child's life saying, hey, listen, this is the way you need to go, the right way. And then it's clear. And then this direction, obviously, is going to make life more challenging than what it needs to be. You know, you need people setting clear guidelines and paths to life. And unfortunately, kids don't have that. So when you leave a kid to their own devices, they just say, okay, well, I'll figure it out.
Yes,
and that's why they can go into the barbershop and act however they want, because they're trying to figure it out. So when I see that, my heart goes out to them. It's like, okay, here's a kid who's dying for someone to give them some guidance.
Discipline,
some direction, discipline.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is be patient with them. Most people will see that and then lash out at them, as opposed to saying, that's a cry for help. So let me figure out a way to spend some time with them. Once you start spending time with them, then you kind of gently show them, hey, listen, this right here will make your life not necessarily easy, but it doesn't have to be as challenging as it probably will be if you continue to make all of these irrational choices. So
From the cradle to the grave, we trying to figure it out. Just Robin, like you said, Robin they just Holmes. Trying to figure it out. And that's their way of showing you they trying to figure it out. As a parent, you're supposed to sit down and say, okay, when you get in that barbershop chair, you better not be in there acting up. You not hurt. You know, those little talks we used to get, because at that point, don't have to figure it out. Your parent has figured it out for you. And they're giving you some instructions to help you go, like you said, in a way that's not going to be as hard as it could be. But I don't understand. Well, I do understand to a degree why today parents don't want to guide their kids and discipline their kids. First of all, they too busy because everybody have to work, you know, get that extra money. Second of all, I feel like that they don't desire the balance. Like, I mean, they don't know to look for the balance. Well, my mom and them beat me, so I ain't going to never beat my kid. Those are two extremes. Well, I ain't never going. And so what they do is they decide at that point that I'm just going to take that part and throw it out the window. We ain't doing the whooping thing at all. But we ain't doing the discipline at all. I'm just going to let my child figure it out. And now in the worldly culture we have, where people are saying, Well, just let them figure it out. They just got to find their way. How? When God gave you parents to guide the children, that's the role of a parent, to guide them.
And let me say this, the very last thing that Jesus said when he was on the earth, when he was leaving, he says, make disciples. Like, and that just simply means, like, the root word of it is discipline. And then he says, teach them to do all the things that I've commanded you to do. See, if you recognize that not just kids, but people need mentoring, they need discipline. They don't know how to live. So they just, well, I don't know what to do. So I'll just do me. You just do you. I'm going to do me. They make songs about it and they live that way. and what, what do you expect? So I don't really get upset when I see a lot of the behavior. I just recognize that people don't know how to live. Someone has to show you how to live. And that's not what the rest of the world, me. Someone had to show me this is how you live. And obviously, bump your head along the way a lot, but it should be clear. If you do these things, then, obviously you can get the most out of life.
Yeah. Robin said something. This is so key. She said, kingdom has set structure while culture doesn't have any structure at all.
Yeah.
Fear of doing the right things is so prevalent in culture that people will see something and instead of saying anything, but we'll record and post it on social media. That's true.
And then talk about it.
Yeah.
And then talk share about their feelings about what they think about what they saw instead of saying something like, excuse me, ma'am, or excuse me, baby, why are you doing that? Come here, get up. You know, it's a way you could do it without seeming like you being harsh. But, yeah.
She said, and Deirdre said, discipline, it's too much social media and teaches us of CPS. While parents are now afraid of being placed under the microscope. Place me under the microscope because I'm from the old school. I don't care about no money. Look at me because I want y'all to watch how I do this so that you'll understand that this works. And I tell everybody, I had a nephew that came to my house and his mama used to, and I was like, come here. And it got to the point where I didn't even have to say nothing to him. I gave him that look and he knew. Just straighten right up.
The look still works.
That look works, but we don't do it. So listen, I want to kind of get into the meat of something real quick. Tanisha, how you doing? Love you, cuzzo. You about to do something big. Put us on and we'll come back and address it later in the show, all right? You about to do something big. I saw
I got my girl Kiki on the line. So, what's up, sis?
So culture today, Sean, I want to ask you a question since I got my bro. There's my brother without the beard. You know, we look alike, but we just got the beard. So culture, today's culture, right? Women are very bold when it comes to culture today.
Right.
Women are bold. They're bold. I've been in Atlanta. I know how they are. They're that way in Houston. If a woman, now, because the Bible does say, he that findeth.
Come
right?
on.
He that findeth.
Yeah.
But if a woman comes up to now the man and is trying to, because she likes what she sees and she said, hey, I like to talk to you. Does that change the narrative of culture? Good question.
Jesse, you're gonna get us in some deep water up in here now.
Hey, this is what we do here on Shit Real Talk. This is what we do here.
Where my floaties at?
Well, Proverbs is the book of principles. It's almost like you ever heard the principle or the proverb that's not a biblical proverb, but it says the apple a day keeps the doctors away. That proverb means that if you eat healthy, then you increase your chances of living a long life. But it don't mean that you won't get hit by a car. You see what I mean? So the point of it is that you don't interpret it like a promise. Because there's other examples in the Bible where, you have a woman like Ruth who goes and takes the initiative from her mom. I mean, not from her mom, from Naomi, saying, hey, go put yourself in a position to be seen by Boaz. You see what I mean? So the point is, God, the man should typically take the initiative being the one who finds a wife. But there's been situations where, some men just, they ain't paying attention. And they need a little help.
They need a little vision, huh?
They need a little help. Somebody can be right in front of them and they don't see it. And so a little prodding, a little help sometimes can go a long way. But again, I think finding a wife, again, it's not necessarily a solid, this is the way it goes and it can't work any other way. Because again, there's other examples in the Bible where, you know, God allowed a woman to do her thing. And even with, you know, what Jacob was in the field and his wife came from his homeland and came and saw him working or whatever. And they met after 40 years or whatever. So, you know, God can work any kind of way he can. So,
okay, and listen, Mama Pearly, we love you. Kanisha Davis, she says, I admit that I've done that. She said he was a handsome man. Kanisha.
You look like a handsome boy.
So in other words, if you see what you like, then at least be a little more visual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But is that visual? Now she put herself in the field, but she wasn't dressed like how Eve was with fig leaves on and stuff like that.
The figgy dress.
The figgy dress.
She had figgy wear.
You don't want to. Unfortunately, this culture is about, you know, a lot of women want attention. Yeah. And they just have to be patient and just let God bring attention into their life. I always think of this example where, you know, Hagar was in the house and she was being ignored, right? And then, you know, she was saying, look, I got a baby, Sarah, you ain't got no baby, you can't have no baby, or whatever the case may be. So she got kicked out the house. When she got kicked out the house, God met her. She's like, wow, God sees me. I can't believe the whole time I thought I was being ignored, but God sees me, right? So same thing is happening today where women are just kind of, okay, well, I don't feel like God is seeing me, so I'm going to put myself out there. Well, you know, God don't need no help. He don't need you to help him. You have to do is just do what he asks you to do, and then he will bring the right person along to give you the attention that you so desire. But if you want attention, you're going to probably end up with some wrong folks in your life if you're willing to do whatever to get seen or to be seen. So
we live in the culture. So I'm just going somewhere with this.
Okay.
We on the waters now. We on the waters today.
Let's
now, now what does it say when you see somebody? Now, you know, when another part of the body has been taken off and placed on another part of the body, because this is. Yeah, there's like some parts, like if you got a little extra under your arm, and you'll take that extra and you'll put it somewhere else on your body just to be seen. Just to be seen. And it's going on. This is in today's society. If you look all on social media, it is all on social media that they have extra skin have been taken and placed on another part of the body. What would you as a godly man as yourself, and you looking at that, especially in today's culture, what would you say? Would you say that's somebody I want to date, or would you think this person needs a little help?
Male's perspective. Come on.
From a perspective of the kingdom culture.
Yeah. Unfortunately, one of the biggest ways that people are being attacked is how they look. You know, when you turn on the TV, if you feel like you're out of shape, as soon as you see somebody who you deem to be hot, sexy, or whatever, then your mind starts saying, clearly they're getting attention. I'm not getting attention. So I'm going to need to enhance my butt, my breasts, or whatever you want to enhance so you can look like them. And really, that's what it's about. They're trying to look like someone else instead of just fully accepting who God made them to be. That's what's going on. That people deep down don't feel like special. They don't feel like somebody really loves them and would like them for who they are and the way they are. So they say, okay, well, let me figure this thing out. You know, looks like if I get my lips a little fuller, you know, because a lot of that's going on, people will think I'm more attractive. If I get my filter looking the right way on Facebook or Instagram, then, you know, I'll probably get more likes, you know. But it's all about, I don't feel good about myself, so let me be someone else. And unfortunately, it's just sad. That kind of person, though, just needs someone to affirm them, to remind them that what God has made is special. God has said you're wonderful, but, you know, you have to either believe God or believe a lie. And, you know, even if you get the attention that you want and find the person that you want, deep down, you're still going to be feeling like, oh, they really got with me because I enhanced the butt. I got a 40 butt now instead of 30. So, you know, deep down, you're going to feel like it's the same way a lot of celebrities think, like, you really with me because I'm a millionaire or because I'm famous. And deep down, if you talk to them, they feel like, I don't really think nobody truly cares for me. So
yeah, they just care about me because of and whatever that come after.
Right. We're being catfished. Yeah. Right. Robin Hood, yeah. The lengths we go through to fit the social idea of beauty. Shaking my head. We must love and accept ourselves as we are. That is so true, Robin. Mind-provoking. Insecurities, while not truly knowing self, will open doors for them to conform towards how others look. Not being able to accept self, but also shows their inability to love. Love starts from within.
Come on, with the heart.
Yes, it does.
I love that.
Yes, mind-provoking.
And the thing that's so interesting, what you said, Sean, it's like, even after you get that and those enhancements.
Miss Kenesha's.
And everything. Do you know that there was even a young lady who was very transparent about, she got the work done and she looked really good. And she was saying, look, now I have a mental issue now about my body. Yes. She said, now I'm constantly looking in the mirror to see what else I can do. Then she also says, basically, when you get work like that done, and what you said, it brought back to my memory. It's like, do he love me for who I am, or do he love me because of my body? And then that goes into a whole nother thing. Now you still got those same voids that you had before you got the work done, but now you got an extra thing that you got on your mind. And people don't talk about that part.
Kenesha Davis said, before you say that, Kenesha said, that's what I'm learning now is to never chase a man. A hard lesson I had to learn this year is to let go and let God.
Come on, Kenesha, Amen. Let go.
Let go and let God. So, with that being said, I want to segue to this because this has been going on.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
I just want to add too, like, again, with the enhancements and all of that, if you look back some 15 years, you know, getting enhanced breasts and behind wasn't the hot thing.
It's
a hot thing now. But 15 years from now, it's going to be something different. So if you got your enhancement and all of that, you're probably going to have to figure out a way to conform to the culture.
Into the enhancement
and
the
it's
culture.
Just a never-ending
always.
And all you're doing is catfishing because you don't look like. Because we done watched some shows, some dating shows where they had makeup and they was beautiful and had a, but then when they go to bed and wake up, it's like, is this the same?
See,
is this the same one that had this makeup
this
on?
This is true. And like, then look,
who are you? And then the eyebrows are gone. And they don't have no eyebrows. They don't even have. They got, you know, like little bird feathers on their eyelashes. It ain't.
See, you so deep.
It's flapping away.
Well, listen, I'm going to speak to what you said. You was like about 15 years ago, it was kind of taboo. If somebody said you got some work done, you like about to fight. Like, no, I didn't and all that stuff. Let me say this. Do you realize how spiritually the enemy has us? Well, he is awesome at subtlety. Subtle. He's so subtle. He is conditioning us subtly to just be to get to that mindset where things are okay. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you couldn't see somebody doing that and it's okay. Now people putting it on Facebook. Now people putting it on Instagram. They getting work done.
Yeah.
Now people are basically broadcasting it. That's how the enemy
that operation is not cheap, man.
That's how he operates. Yeah. It's like, first he'll get you to think, you know, he'll plant the seed. Then after a while, that seed start growing. And after a while, it becomes a norm. It's a normal tree in the yard. Yeah. Every day you see that tree. First, it was like a little nothing. So we have to be careful in society today, the things we look at, the things we not only see, but the things that we say, how we act and all of that stuff, because the kingdom is not being televised. Now, that's not real. You know, the kingdom is not being televised, but the kingdom is not being, portrayed. The way it should, because if more people were saying, more dudes were saying stuff like, "Babe, you look good the way you are. You don't got to get that work done." If more females were saying, "I love myself," if more people were just in the kingdom, speaking kingdom language, which is love, peace, joy, all the fruits of the spirit, then I feel like that we would have a better impact on the world than what the world is having on the kingdom. True.
Tanisha, my cousin, she said the surgeon just enhances the physical. They can't do anything for the mental. And Keisha, what's up, sis? Keisha and Scooter. She said, this is the problem.
This
is the problem, period. Come on. We have become culturally obese while remaining spiritually malnourished.
Come on, that is what it is.
Come on, Robin Holmes. What also needs to be considered, work often requires maintenance and keep up. Yes, upkeep. That is true.
Babe, we can't just scave past that statement, though.
What?
She said, this is the problem.
No, it is a problem, because I was going to say that.
We got to talk about that a little bit. She said, we have become culturally obese while remaining spiritually, as far as the kingdom, malnourished.
But like Sean said, and I really truly believe that, a lot of us grow up, we grow up with these distortions, these dysfunctions, and we grow up with a lot of it, and so... Because we don't really receive the love, because we don't really realize that God placed that love inside of us. So we don't realize that it's there. We just have to, you know, cultivate it. We got to cultivate it. Or it has to be cultivated.
Come forth.
But when it's not cultivated, then what we do is now we look for certain things and certain mechanisms to make us feel like what's already inside of us. So we're looking for an outward fix when if we dig deep inside. Because God already placed the love inside of us.
Come on.
So if we don't dig deep to kind of figure it out, and how we cultivate it is what? Getting in the Word of God.
Praying every day.
You know what I'm saying? So what you do is now you cultivate it. You build it up. That's watering it. That's planting it. And what we do is we water it with the fact of what we can get from the society and from the culture. And the culture is telling us, well, make yourself look good. Or if you do this, then you'll be attention. You know what I'm saying? I believe social media is really... A trick of the enemy, because
he's the prince of the airwaves. So, I mean, you do the math. But let me read what you have something to say, Sean.
I was just thinking that when it comes to social media, I see it just like fire, where fire, you can heat your house up. You know, your New Yorkers, y'all know it's cold right now. You got to have some heat. Yeah. Your stove needs to be hot. You want to cook. You want to take a hot shower. So it's useful, but if it jumps off the stove onto the couch or the floor, then you got a problem. And that's problem, pretty much right. Social media. Yeah. It obviously can be used for a lot of good, but a lot of people letting the fire jump off the stove when it comes to social media. And it's burning people, and it's burning people's lives.
So. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Listen to what Mama Pearly says. Now listen, we was talking about the enhancements. You got the 30, whatever the numbers are, 20-something, whatever. So Mama Pearly is saying this from when you get that work and now you're older. A lot of people don't think of, okay, what happens when I get older after getting this work? She says, I have friends who got all of that and now they are older. They are having to undo all of that. She says, sorry, but they are looking unreal now in their older age. We must love the person in the mirror. Period. And I'm going to add a T on it, period. Because we don't think about later. We only thinking about now. She said she got friends and they older now. And they looking unreal because of the work that they got on. They didn't think about, okay, what this work going to look like when I get older.
Yes. Kanisha, absolutely, yes. 100. It's all a distraction to keep us from getting closer to God. I feel like social media needs to be shut down for a while so people can wake up.
Come on, Kanisha.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a heart for that. Yes.
But it will allow us to pray and read and really get closer to God, because that's truly what it is. It's all about. If you have that connection and that relationship with God, then he can be what you really feel that you're missing. And we don't really lean on him to be everything. He said he wants to be everything for us in all thy ways.
Yeah.
Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And we don't go to acknowledge him. We just go to what we feel is going to make us feel. We get that quick fix.
Feel good for the moment.
And mm-hmm. and that's what I believe a lot of these stars and a lot of these moguls and a lot of these R&B stars who are going through today. You know what I'm saying? They using the wrong vices to satisfy their flesh and to satisfy even their ego, satisfying what they were missing. You know, they may be rich and you know, Sean Puffy. And I could call the names out because we're going to pray for him. You know what I'm saying? We definitely going to pray for him. Puffy, R. Kelly. You know, these are guys I truly pray for every day because, again, you know, some things they probably did that they probably regret to this day. But I understand without God truly being the head and the center of our life, we would definitely make decisions to fulfill what we feel that we have to fulfill on our own. You know what I'm saying?
I'm tripping because it's crazy. I pray for them too. When I look at social media and see all the stuff they said, but I be like, dog, see, we could play with sin, but sin, when it's ready, it's going to play back with us.
Yeah.
And I be looking at everything that's going on, and I know a lot of people going off and a lot of people, you know, trying to destroy and all that stuff, and I get it. But everybody is not a destroyer. So when I see things, I know that it's some bad things that has happened. But, man, I'd be like, God, you know, this person, not just him, but like other people I see too, this person really had to have been missing you in order to do the things that they've been doing. And my heart go out. I mean, that's just how I'm made. My heart goes out because I'm like, man, I mean, and I'm not going to act like I'm wrong.
Just when I see people going through different things, I just got a real simple prayer. Like, Lord, help them to see. Help them to see. Wow. Because that's the difference. God has helped me to see certain things. And there's a lot of things I still can't see. And I ask every day, God, help me to see, you know, myself. Help me to see what's really going on with people, the world around me. Help me to see. So, you know, when I see people just kind of doing their thing and living their life, it's like, Lord, they blind. They can't see.
Yeah.
Help
yeah.
them to see.
Yeah. And,
if I can help in any kind of way, help me to help them. So,
yeah. And the thing that's I feel like is so beautiful about who God created his children to be in the kingdom standpoint, it's like we should be praying for people like Puffy and Jay-Z and Beyonce, people, even if we don't know Macaulay Culkin and all of these people, Orlando Brown and I think that's his last name, right? Orlando Brown. And all of these people that we see on social media now, we should be praying for them because if we stop praying, then think about what will actually happen in this world. It takes the Christians who still have love. It takes the Christians who still see things and their heart goes out and they have empathy and they decide to sit down and just even say a simple prayer, Lord, help them. How about this? Lord, help them to know when they've had enough. So that they won't have that thing of the love of money being the root of all evil. So they have boundaries. Lord, help them. Lord, do heal them, touch them. Like whatever's going on with them right now, while they're in there, they still people. Some people may not have a soul, as some people say, but God is so good that he'll come in that empty place and he'll still fill the void. It don't matter how dirty or how messed up we were. Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was killing Christians. He was murdering people, you know. You got all kind of, and I believe in the word of God, God gives all these examples of these people doing things that when we think about it, Paul, he killed Christians. But when you really think about that, he was killing folks just because they was Christians. So it's like, what difference is that than someone who, if we were to read and Sean Combs was in the Bible, let's just say in the Now Testament, we had a Sean Combs in the Bible and he got converted by God and because God came into his heart. And now he used to beat women and whatever the case it was in the word of God. And when people read it, they see it like, wow, God can help me if he can help somebody like that. And that's how we should see it. We shouldn't see it like,
we got two things. Tanisha, she said, all thy ways in all thy ways, yes, but we breadcrumb and penny pinch what we want and lean on what we want to lean
Maybe
on.
What? Hold up. I don't, what are you
She says, about? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, but we breadcrumb and penny pinch what we want to lean on for.
Okay.
Yes, we do. Robin says, yes, Sandy was a move in this region to turn people back to God. Then COVID moved across the nation to get folks' attention. Yes, yeah, come on. I totally
God
agree
God trying
that.
To get our we, attention, people.
In the church, we took that for like, oh, people don't want to come back to church. No, Lord, the Lord, I really believe he shut all that down so that we can look straight to him and get rid of the religion that we brung forth, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's one comment on here I want us to talk about. She, Kanisha said, I don't know if it's just me, But I think when I pray for people, it's like they get worse. I honestly believe that a lot of times it gets worse before it gets better, because sometimes it only gets worse because they haven't really came to the, they're still blind. They haven't seen yet. So the more you pray, that doesn't mean that it gets worse. It just means that it's going to, God, trust me, God's going to answer. We just got to keep, we got to stay faithful to that word. We got to stay faithful to believing that God is going to change these people's mindset. And if it, and if sometimes, I always say this, there's two ways we learn. We learn through instruction and we learn through experience. And a lot of times we only go through the experience if we don't listen to the instruction. So a lot of people that go through that experience so that they can learn, you know what I'm saying? So we, any, you want to say something about that, Sean?
Yeah. People get worse because there's a real enemy who's like, I'm not letting them go, you know, and he's tenacious. And he says, you know, any ideas that he was putting in their head before, he's like, okay, well, somebody's trying to talk to God for them and help them. Let me put more of my mindset, more of my ideas. Let me put more of that in their mind so that they can go further into whatever it is. But we have to be just as tenacious for that person that the enemy would be. And tenacity means like not just a couple of weeks or a month, but, you know, I had a mother praying for my brother, man, years, you know, and there's plenty of mothers, when you talk about praying grandmothers or whatever the case may be, they've been praying for family members for years, decades, you know, and sometimes some people are so deep into what they love that they don't want to let it go. And it may take a decade. It may take who knows how long.
Yeah.
My father was an alcoholic all of his life. But about 6 months before he died, he came to the Lord. But my mom was praying for him the whole time.
And
a lot of people don't know that. And I actually, as a young person, as a teenager, I gave up on him. Like, Mom, why don't you leave him? You know, he's drinking. He's doing everything. He don't want to do right. You know, but my mom was like, no, I'm going to keep on praying. And she kept praying. And God did a work when we least expected it. So keep being tenacious. And don't let the devil outwork you when it comes to loving people. I mean, he gonna love doing what he wants to do. So you got to love people into the kingdom.
That's come right. on. I love that.
That's right. Yeah, you're right, too.
I love that.
A lot of times the enemy knows what you're going to, because God probably already showed him what you're going to be. And he sees, oh, no, he can't become that. But I know I got to keep him distracted so he can stay down here. But, yeah, you're right. We got to keep pushing, man. Mm-hmm. Sean.
I think about this too. I got one more thought. I think about this too. Just think about how God, like with our issues and flaws, how much he sticks with us. Like,
yeah.
There's so many things that we probably should have let go of a year ago or two or whatever, but God keeps sticking with us. So you want to be like the king of the kingdom, then you got to have that mindset to stick with people, even when they don't appear to be lovable.
Yeah, right, if you want to be like the king of the kingdom, that's the key.
Sean, man, I want to get with you, man, because coming back to Atlanta, I want to get with you, man, because I want to do a podcast, man, and call it Man Talk. I want to, you know what I'm saying, I want to get on the airwaves, man, and make it a big show, man, and you know, help these brothers, man, that really need, man, and I hope that it reaches even as far as Tyler Perry, man. So I want to get with you, man. So we're going to chop it up.
I have two comments I want to say before we get off the air. Number one, Robin says, I know. She said, my mama prayed for me for years. And then she said, and God changed my dad in the 11:59 hour.
Wow.
At 11:59, 1 minute before the hour. She said God changed her dad. And then the other one, Mama Pearly, she always has words of wisdom, her little pearls that she drops. And she says, God will bring you to it and bring you through it. And that's real talk. So, hey, my sister is on the line. Natasha, I love you, baby.
Listen,
Tasha's on the line.
Deborah, we love you more, girl. We love you more. Sean, man, this was awesome, man. Man, dude, we got to bring you back, man, for real. And like I said, we're gonna be doing more, man. We're gonna talk to you, man. We got some stuff to, we got some work to do, man. We really got some work to do, man. The hour always goes by fast. I'm so glad my wife asked you to come on, man, you got some nuggets, man, and you had some gold in the people are on here, man. They have really been blessed by today's show. Tasha saying, what up, y'all? What's up,
what
girl?
Up, bro?
My sister's on the line, man.
Listen, the thing that I got from this, my takeaway from this show is if we as the kingdom keep showing love, and if we as the kingdom keep trying to be like our father, the king, then even though culture might seem to get darker and darker and darker, light shines brightest in the darkness. So if everybody around you got light, then your light gonna just be a light. But as it gets darker, that's when your light shines the brightest. So keep shining for the kingdom, and we gonna be all right.
We gonna be all right.
Listen, y'all, man, like, share. If you enjoyed the content today, man, y'all like, y'all love, share. Man, we want to give a shout out to these boys here at Sacred Stone Studios.
Yes,
listen,
Sacred
y'all,
Stone Studios.
Cash App is $Shift Movement. To promise you, we will definitely appreciate you know your donations, but we'll even appreciate more just your likes and your shares. Even if you just share it, that's just like donating to the Cash App.
Yes, just share.
We
thank
God for
that. Yeah. Hold up, I have Amia Williams. She says last week we missed her comment. She has a comment here for Kanisha, and I really want to read it. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You got to have to be put.
Yeah.
We did
Kanisha
miss it last
says,
week.
I don't know if it's just me, but I think when I pray for people, it's like they get worse. Mia says, I find when this occurs with me, I change my prayer. I pray, God, what do you want me to pray? For example, a young lady asked me to pray for her husband. For her husband, I was praying for her desire. About the third time, God switched my prayer for her about her mindset. Weeks later, she told me that she was working on herself, and I never told her how God switched my prayer. She is married today to someone she previously wouldn't have given a chance to, and she is happy and growing from that connection. So, Kanisha, sometimes just ask God, what do you want me to pray for
them
and change your prayer? And that's for any of us who prays for anybody in this world. Y'all, let's pray for the music industry. Let's pray for society. Let's keep praying.
Let's pray
but
for
no
Sean
matter,
Puffy Combs. Let's keep them. Let's pray for R. Kelly.
Let's do
man.
It.
Let's pray
let's
for
do
these
it.
Guys.
Why not? Because
you know let's
who,
do it,
who
man.
Better to
let's
pray for it. Than people that need prayer?
This and, is the culture, the
yeah.
kingdom culture.
And no matter how dark the light, how dark it is, we the light.
Sean, you want to say something, man, before we... You want to say something, man?
Yeah, I really appreciate y'all having me on here, man. And again, the main thing that I think, if I want to leave anything, is I'm always reminded of Jesus. Like, his life motto was, you know, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his way as a ransom for many. So if we approach the world, you know, approach people that way, like, I'm not here for what I can get from you, but I'm here to serve you. Or like they said, the varsity, what do you have? You know, if our mindset is like, what do you have when it comes to people? Like then, you know, we're living the kingdom. That's what the kingdom is about. Serving people and saying, how can I be whatever I can be for you? That's how Jesus was.
Got
and,
it.
And this is the culture that we're trying to put out, y'all.
The
kingdom
culture.
Absolutely. So with that being said, man, Sean, thank you, man. Thank you so much for coming
on
with
us,
man.
Thank you so much for honoring us and gracing us with your presence.
Yes.
This is a powerful man of God. I've known him all my life, almost from childhood.
And I promise you, next year, if y'all still doing the Father's Day thing, I'm coming there. We're going to put a team together.
Baby,
and we
call him for that.
Okay, we're going
Let's go.
For the Father's Day picnic. Let's go. Let's go.
Call him for that.
Let's
but
go.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we appreciate you because it is still some good men out there. Sean, you got a ring on it?
I do not have a ring on it.
A
so,
man of God, y'all, listen. A man of God, he live it, he talk it, but you're going to have to go down to Rock City. So if you for it and if God says yes, be like Ruth and lay at them feet.
But listen, y'all, our time is gone, far spent. We got to go. Let the words of my mouth with meditation in my heart, be acceptable in thy sight.
O Lord,
my strength and my redeemer. Listen, y'all. Shift Real Talk.
I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor J.
And we have our guest, Sean McLeod, here until next Tuesday, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Same bat channel, same bat place.
Peace.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.